Just about the time you think you've got everything dialed in, you find out that maybe you're not as smart as you thought you were. And Sean Hernke, I guess first thing is everybody, including myself, that ran into you ever always said Hernke, but it's actually Hernke, right?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny. I mean, it's never really bothered me that much. Of course, you know, your family always, you know, especially your grandparents are always there. They always say your name wrong when you go on stage. And, you know, but when you have a name like mine, you just kind of learn to roll with it. The proper pronunciation is actually Hernke, kind of like H-U-R-U-R-N-K-E-Y, but everybody just calls me Hornkey, so it's kind of got the nickname throughout the years is Horn Toad, because everybody calls me Hornkey, so everybody just kind of calls me Horn Toad. So that's kind of funny, so I kind of ran with that premise and recently started a little tackle company that's kind of a tournament-grade tackle company that you'll be seeing a lot more stuff come out next spring, and it's actually called Horn Toad Tackle. So we kind of ran with that and used my last name and said, well, if people are just going to keep calling me that, then we'll just I'll just name my own company that way.
Well,
so.
You got to go in, you know, you spelled it uniquely, too. Horn Toad's not the way you think it'd be. How'd you spell it?
Yeah, we spelled it H-O-E-R-N Toad Tackle. So it's Horn Toad Tackle. So it's kind of I've got my own little niche on that one. I don't think anybody's going to be fighting me for that name.
Well, I guarantee you this. I'm not going to say Hernke anymore. I will say Hernke the rest of the time. And it's been funny because, you know, one of our editors was talking to you doing a pro fishing tip and brought up the idea. He said, no, his name's not Hernke. It's Hernke. And I go, now, I've known him too long. That can't be the case. So we got that straightened out at least today.
Yeah, I know. You're not the first one. Everybody always ends up, it's always kind of comical because what happens is someone usually ends up getting an argument over it, and then they come over to me and actually settle it. By the end, they say, now tell me, we got a bet. Is it this way or this way? And I say, well, it's this way. So, but if you want me to tell them however much money you pay me off, I'll tell them whatever way you want to know.
Well, you know, Sean, you're a Texas guy and have loved to fish ever since a very young age, been with Skeeter Boats for a lot of years. But, you know, one of the things I think I want to delve into today with you is everybody is very persnickety about their tackle and their gear and stuff. And you've picked a company for rods it's a new company out there. It's called Setter Rods. And you like the things about that, but why do you pick a rod company like them?
Well, it's kind of interesting, you know, Jim Eldridge, who actually owns the company and has contacted me last fall, I guess, after my Bassmaster Open win last November. And, you know, he said, hey, we've got a new company here called Setter Rods. And, you know, I've got a lot of different type rods here that, you know, we're really making a lot of progress with. And I was kind of apprehensive at first, you know, like most people, and said, well, you know, send me, you know, I'm basically my two biggest strengths are flipping and shallow cranking. I mean, that's what I hit the water. If I feel like if I can win a tournament or finish high, that's what I'm going to be doing. And so, you know, I said, hey, send me some flipping sticks and some cranking rods and I'll see, you know, what I think. And man, I went out to Conroe down here down the street in Texas and called him back that night and said, man, when can I start working for you? His rods are just really, they build their complete blanks at the factory, tip to butt, and American-made, top-quality components. And what's really cool about Setter is the fact that he really utilizes his pro staff. And it's basically a situation like we talked about. This summer, we came out with a frog rod. And, you know, the last year, 18 months, it really have been kind of a deal where, you know, the frog has been the hip thing, as anybody's seen on tour. And if you're not throwing a frog, you know, on any type of grass or heavy vegetation, like, you're going to take one for the team. So, but the deal with the frog rods and most frog rods, like I felt like, was you either throw, you know, the new walking baits. You know, a lot of the frogs are, you know, you have the new walking type frogs or you have the soft plastic undulating frogs. And there really wasn't a rod out there that you could really use to utilize and walk that frog real good with just enough tip. And then you get into, like, the undulating frogs, the soft plastic ones, and a lot of times if you're throwing a traditional frog rod, man, it was just really hard to rip it out there, you know, and get that extra distance because there was no load on those rods. Those rods are so stiff. So I sat down with Jim and I said, look, let's try to build a rod that we can do both things, and I want to be able to throw both types of frogs. And that was really a tough task. And what was cool is Jim's able to come back and just build it exactly what I wanted. And then what's interesting and unique about what Jim does is, you know, it's not a rod just built for me. And then he gave it, you know, Dave Lefevre is also another person on pro staff, and Chip Harrison. And let's give it to Dave. And Dave used it, and Chip uses it, and everybody uses it throughout the pro staff. And they say, well, I'd like to have this change and maybe tweak this. And he really listened to us and kind of got, and not just us, but he even has a lot, you know, a lot of just friends and regional guys who got out there. And, you know, kind of get a broad base. A lot of times, you know, you just get my opinion. Well, a lot of times my opinion might be different than your opinion. And so what's really good is you kind of get the whole general consensus, and at the end, everybody, you know, Dave had ideas that I didn't have, and then at the end, you have a real good solid rod. So the new frog rod that they have out is just awesome. I mean, if you haven't tried one yet, you really need to check it out.
Well, you know, one of the things he mentioned to me about that rod is the fact that they didn't use any weave in it at all. I mean, you know, you don't have any of that bulk that you get sometimes when you use weave. And as you mentioned earlier, when you look at setter, they build everything right there so they can tweak and adjust and do those kind of things, which I would think would be an advantage for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what's cool. You know, Jim doesn't necessarily, you know, we go, you know, talk about this a lot. And some companies, they'll build their pro-specific rods. You know, a pro will call in and say, hey, I want a 7-2 rod that has this action and this action. And that's not going to be something that the end consumer will ever be able to touch. And Jim only builds a rod if he thinks that the end consumer can build it. So every rod that I use or every rod that Dave uses or every rod that Chip uses is all rods that he has in his lineup. If we sit down and say, hey, look, there might be one key that you're missing in your lineup. You know, hey, look, like this week we're actually talking about I'm an East Texas grass fisherman. So I'm like, hey, we really need to work on East Texas grass fishing rod because that's something that, you know, a lot of people use down here, especially with Amstad coming on strong with all the grass fishing we have down here. So right now we're kind of developing that, but it's something, the end result, that's going to be production that everyone can use. It's not just something built special for me or special for Dave that nobody else gets to use. And that's what's really cool about what he does, because at the end of the day, that's what it really matters, is getting it to the end, you know, being able to, some guy can catch more fish on it, and that's what it's all about.
Well, kind of designed by pros and tested by weekend warriors, you know, that's what it sounds like to me. And the nice thing about that is very, very critical to this is the fact that you're not getting a rod like, you know, if it's a Signature Series rod or something like that, that really isn't the rod. It's really the rod that you guys use.
Right, exactly. And that's what I kind of like about it. And if there's something necessary that we feel that there needs to be added, then we'll go ahead and add it. But he's got basically right now got the complete lineup of everything. Between all of us on pro staff, we fish pretty much everywhere there is to fish in the country. So if there's something that he doesn't have, I'll be really surprised that someone needs it. So.
Well, they came out of the steelhead industry out there in the West Coast, and, you know, Jim has a long bass history as well. But you look at what they're doing, and it just looks like to me, if people know about this product and get out there and find it and buy it, they're going to be very pleased with the rod. I've had an experience with both the cranking rod and the flipping stick when they were prototypes. And just phenomenal good rods, both of them.
Well, that was the thing that just really blew me away, because when Jim first told me, he says, well, I've got a cranking rod that's actually graphite and it's not fiberglass. And I thought, well, and I was a big fiberglass guy and always have been for a lot of years. And I thought, well, that's why I said, well, send them down and I'll see. But and poor Jim still won't tell me how he does it, because I think he wants to keep it top secret. But he makes that, I have never felt the graphite rod that reacts exactly like a glass rod, but it weighs, I mean, just a fraction of what a heavy glass rod usually does. And when I felt that, I said, and I loaded up on that first fish, I was like, wow, this thing, he's got it down right. And so I called out, I was like, how did you do that? And so even to this day, he won't tell me how it's done, so I quit asking. I just know that he builds a good rod, and I'm happy with it. I really look forward to it. I mean, he's got some really neat componentry. I mean, he has the REC guides, which are kind of the snapbacks on some of the response series rods, which for me, you know, being in FLW, you always have your guy coming up and netting your fish. And, you know, in our skeeter boats, it doesn't matter. Every single day, someone's always stepping on my rod guides coming to get a fish. And, of course, you don't really care if they're netting as long as they get, you know, if it's a good one, who cares? But what's great is all those RECs snap right back up, and it's really cool. The guides are really uptown, and they really work great. I've really gone to all the I was real skeptical of the RECs at first, just because I was used to a traditional Fuji-style eyelet, and now all my rods have gone to the REC guides. So.
Well, you know, Sean, I guess we got a couple, three or four things accomplished today. Number one, we got your name right.
Exactly.
Maybe for the country now, people will know, you know, and the world will know how to pronounce your name. The other thing is, what a great company you've landed with Setter Rods. Make sure that, you know, the head tweaker and horn-toed lures, I need to know more about that. You keep me apprised, will you?
Yeah, I will. There'll be a lot more stuff coming out. We're actually getting a lot of molds built right now as we speak, and trying to get everything out there for spring of 07, and you guys will be the first to know.
Well, Sean, I appreciate you being with us. We're here at Bass Fan Radio.
I appreciate it, Terry, and you have a good day.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.